All right, buckle up, everyone, because we are diving headfirst into 100 Years of Solitude. This book, I mean, wow, showered with awards. Everyone calls it a masterpiece, the king of magical realism. But you know, something tells me there's more to it than that.
Oh, absolutely. 100 Years of Solitude, it's one of those books that sparks just as much debate as it does praise, you know?
See, that's what I find so interesting. So, for those of us who haven't read it yet, and hey, no shame in that, what's the elevator pitch? Why all the hype?
Okay, so picture this. A huge family saga, generations long, set in this incredibly vivid town, Macondo. Love, loss, fate, it's all there, the big stuff. But it's how Garcia Marquez brings in those elements of magical realism that's what really grabs you.
Right. That's what everyone keeps saying, magical realism, this intricate plot. But before we get too deep into the weeds here, I gotta ask, this book's been a literary rock star for decades now. What is it about this book that's kept people talking all this time?
That's the really fascinating part. It's definitely considered a classic, but people's reactions to 100 Years of Solitude, way more complicated than that. Even the term magical realism, it's caused a lot of controversy, believe it or not.
Wait, really? I thought magical realism was like the thing, especially with this book, with Latin American literature in general. What's the issue?
Well, funny thing is, the term wasn't even a literary term originally. It was an art critic, Franz Rohe, who first used it, like back in the 1920s, to talk about a certain style of painting. And then, way later, people started using it for literature, specifically Latin American literature, which is a whole other can of worms.
So they took this art term and kind of stuck it onto literature. Yeah, I can see how that might ruffle some feathers.
Exactly. And that's led to some pretty strong opinions, let me tell you. You've got writers, Tomasi Eloy-Martinez, for example, who argue that magical realism really only truly fits 100 Years of Solitude. That's it, just the one.
Wow, one book. That's a bold claim. Is this Martinez guy saying Garcia Marquez basically invented magical realism in literature?
It's not quite that simple, but he saw something unique in the way Garcia Marquez blended historical realism with those fantastical elements that he didn't see anywhere else, at least not to the same degree.
Okay, so that's one, take one book to rule them all. But what about Borges? You can't talk about magical realism without bringing up Borges, right?
You're right. Even literary giants like Borges get pulled into this whole debate. Some critics say his work might fit better under fantastic literature. And even Borges himself had a pretty funny reaction to all of this. He was known for his wit, you know, and he apparently joked that 100 Years of Solitude should have been called 50 Years of Solitude.
Okay, I mean, the man loved his symbolism, but even he thought it was a bit much. I gotta hand it to him. That's funny.
It gives you an idea of the kind of conversations this book was sparking, even way back then.
Yeah.
But I think it highlights a really important point. Magical realism, it's a very loaded term, especially in this context. It's not as simple as just saying, oh, there's magic, so it's magical realism.
Yeah.
You've got history there, cultural representation, how we categorize literature. It's complicated.
So maybe saying it's loaded is putting it lightly. It
Yeah.
sounds like we need to unpack this term before we can even start to understand the book. But before we get too far down that road, I am curious, what did Garcia Marquez think about all this? Did he consider himself a magical realist, or was that just not his thing?
That's what makes him so interesting. He never really rejected the term magical realism outright, but he always talked about grounding the extraordinary in the everyday.
Yeah.
He believed in finding the magic within reality itself, which is kind of a profound thought when you think about it.
Okay, so maybe the real magic is seeing the extraordinary in the ordinary. Deep stuff.
Right. And it gets to how 100 Years of Solitude is much more than just a fantasy. It makes you think about what's real, what's imagined, how those two worlds crash together.
Okay, so much to think about already, and we haven't even gotten to the story itself yet. We've got magical realism, or like Garcia Marquez's version of it, but what else has had critics and readers hooked all these years? What are some of the other layers people are finding?
Well, one of the most interesting things about 100 Years of Solitude is how many different ways you can look at it. You can think about it historically, politically, even like a myth. It's got all these hidden depths. Okay, let's talk about those depths. Where do we even begin? Like, what's a historical reading of the book look like?
Well, think about Macondo, that isolated little town where everything happens. It's fictional, sure, but it's also really connected to Colombian history. You've got war, political upheaval, even this feeling of being cut off from the rest of the world. Critics see echoes of Colombia's own experiences in all of that.
So it's like Garcia Marquez is using this fictional place to explore real issues, right? Kind of like a distorted reflection of history. Yeah, exactly. And then you have critics like Regina James. She's really gone deep on those historical parallels. like how specific events and even characters in the book might connect back to real moments in Colombian history. It's really interesting stuff.
That is fascinating. It's like a whole other level of meaning opens up, right? It's not just a story anymore. You're like uncovering a secret history.
Exactly. And that's just one way to look at it. Remember how we were talking about the structure of the novel? Well, there's this whole school of thought that analyzes the book like it's a giant puzzle.
Okay, now that I've got to hear more about a puzzle. So it's not just a straightforward plot then. What's the puzzle exactly?
No, take Josefina Lodmer, for example. She used something called structuralist analysis, which is basically like looking for hidden patterns and meanings in how the story is put together.
So like a literary detective searching for clues.
Pretty much. And what she found was really interesting. She saw all these parallels between the structure of 100 Years of Solitude and the myth of Oedipus.
Wait, Oedipus? Like the guy who married his mother? What does that have to do with anything?
Uh-huh, right. Well, to make a long story short, both stories deal with fate, family curses, how history seems to repeat itself. Lodmer said that Garcia Marquez used that mythic framework to create these really deep layers of meaning, like he's hiding secret messages in the narrative.
Whoa. Okay, my mind is a little blown. He put an ancient myth into the DNA of the story.
Kind of. And that kind of depth, that's what kept scholars and critics digging into 100 Years of Solitude for all this time. They see it as a book that's full of secrets waiting to be uncovered.
So we've got history, myth. What other rabbit holes are critics going down? This feels like the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, there's plenty more, trust me. One thing that's getting more attention these days is the role of gender in the novel. Early critics didn't really touch on this as much, but feminist readings, those have added a whole new layer to how we understand the characters and how they relate to each other.
Interesting. So is the book secretly feminist or something? Or are they noticing things that people missed before?
It's tricky, you know? Which is often the case with a book like this. These feminist critics, they're really looking at how women are portrayed, how much agency they have or don't have, how their stories connect to the bigger themes of history, family, power.
So it's less about labeling the book and more about really looking at how women navigate this world Garcia Marquez has created.
Exactly. They're asking questions like, how does being a woman in this specific world, in this family, shape their choices and their lives? And what they're finding is pretty fascinating.
Okay, you've got to give me the highlights. What are they finding?
Well, there's Alessandra Lucelli, for example. She's a writer, a critic, and she has some pretty strong words about how women and relationships are shown in Garcia Marquez's work. You know, it definitely pushes back against some of those earlier readings, the ones that maybe didn't pay as much attention to some of the more problematic stuff.
That's really interesting. So the way people are reading and analyzing the book, it changes over time. It's not just stuck in one interpretation.
Right. And that's part of what makes 100 Years of Solitude such a rich and interesting book. It starts these conversations and lets different points of view exist together.
Okay, so we've got history, myth, gender. Is there anything this book hasn't inspired someone to write about? It's like a literary Rorschach test.
It really is. And, you know, it's not just academics and critics who are fascinated. It's created what some people call the Macondo phenomenon, something that goes way beyond literary analysis.
Hold on, the Macondo phenomenon. Now I'm really curious. What does that even mean?
Well, think about it, Macondo. It's fictional, right? But it become so much more than that, especially in Colombia. The book has really had a huge impact on writers, even just on conversations people are having about identity, history. You know, people talk about Macondo like it's a real place, a shared piece of their culture. It's like the book jumped off the page and became something bigger.
It's like 100 Years of Solitude. It's like it somehow captured something real, something essential about Colombia, even with all the fantastical stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like its own form of magical realism, blurring the lines between, you know, fiction and reality.
Yeah, it really is. And it's led to some pretty interesting debates, even between some big names in literature. Like there was this big clash between Angel Rama and Mario Vargas Llosa, two huge literary critics, about how to even approach a book like this.
Okay, now that's what I'm talking about. A literary showdown. What were they disagreeing about? Give me the details.
So Rama, he was critical of Vargas Llosa's way of analyzing the novel. He called it archaic. Said Vargas Llosa was too focused on this idea of the author as like this lone genius, you know, separate from the real world. Rama, though, he thought you had to look at literature within its context, its social and political context, you know, as a product of its time.
So it wasn't even really about 100 Years of Solitude specifically. It was more about like the whole way we understand literature, period. That's a pretty big argument.
It really is. But that kind of shows you how powerful this book is.
Yeah.
It makes you ask those huge questions about art, about history, about what's real, you know.
I have to say, all this talk, it's got me even more curious about 100 Years of Solitude than I was before. It's more than just a book. It's like a phenomenon, this cultural touchstone sparking debates left and right. But for someone listening who's maybe feeling a bit overwhelmed by all these different interpretations, like, where do you even start with a book like this?
That's the best part. You can start anywhere. But while you're exploring Macondo and the Buendia family, just remember what Garcia Marquez said about how reality is a better writer than any of us. When you come across those fantastical parts, those magical realism moments, just ask yourself, is he going for realism or is he creating something totally magical?
Ooh, that is a question to sit with. It's like he's giving us permission to question everything, embrace the mystery, and find our own meaning. Love it.
Exactly. And who knows, maybe you'll come up with your own interpretation to add to the mix.
Right. Maybe we'll be having you back on to talk about your groundbreaking 100 Years of Solitude analysis. But for now, I think we've given everyone a pretty great start on their own deep dive.
I think so, too.
Well, this has been quite the journey. Until next time, happy reading, everyone.